Of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're
going to
kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop! And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Ed.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So what's going on today?
I don't know. I was pretty busy at work.
Yeah, busy at work?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying you have a life?
I do have a life. Do you have a life?
Sometimes I think I do.
Sometimes I do. Do you have a life tonight? I think that's the big question.
I actually had a life tonight, yeah. I went to a party.
You went to a party. Well, you did civil service today.
I did. I did some poll working, yes, tonight.
You helped to make sure democracy worked according to plan.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Right. And I feel good about it, too.
As you should.
Doesn't matter who wins or loses. Well, it kind of does, but it doesn't.
It matters who wins or loses, but it matters that it's done in an appropriate way, according to rules and laws, and that everybody gets a chance to speak their voice, and that everything gets styled appropriately. And you need local volunteers to do that.
Right.
Much like you need donations to make radio, internet radio, work properly.
That's right. Please, we implore you to go to support Revolution Radio. You just need to go to revolutionradio.com, and there is a donate right there on the site.
Not a donut, a donate.
A donate, yes.
We do need you to donate to us.
Right, there are
you
no
can donuts. Have a donut afterwards.
It's on
but you.
But you
need to
but yes.
donate.
That's right. So please, we are very happy that they have put us up and made us their home. Made us their home? Made us
yes.
home? Yes, made us their home. And we,
no, given us a home, I believe it's.
How about that is? Be yeah, that's a little better. Given us a home.
Given us a home on the internet.
And, you know, so please listen so that support this radio station. Unfortunately, I don't think we have any, you know, cool prizes like, you know, umbrellas for any kind of pledge drive.
No tote bags.
No.
No CD of the month. I mean, I can make recommendations, but I mean, honestly, it might be a CD you already have. It's really a pretty good chance.
Right.
It's a CD you've at least heard of if you don't already own it. I'm not the guy that you're going to get like that deep pick.
Yeah,
you have to listen to the Furry Muldoons out of the Great Lakes. They're great. They're fantastic. The Furry Muldoons.
The Clarks.
The Clarks. I'm going to go with Clarks. You know, they actually had that song there that kind of got big.
Which one?
Briefly. I forget. Cigarette maybe or something like that.
Born Too Late?
Maybe. I forget. They kind of had a mild following outside of Pittsburgh, briefly. Not quite Rusted Root with Send Me On My Way.
No. No, that's not.
Which, boy, oh boy, did that make an impact in the world of movies.
And commercials, too.
And commercials, yes.
Yeah.
Movies and commercials.
And you know, I do claim, I have a lame claim to fame there that I used to work with Donovan.
Did you? The drummer.
I did, yes.
Where'd you work with him at?
His dad owned a tree service.
Oh, that's cool.
In our fair town. And I worked for him. Well, I worked with him. Well, he drove the truck around, and I did all the work. But
It was Gablicki. It was a Jen Wirth. I think she might have left. Donovan, like you said, he's the drummer. Just all the members.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I saw them. So the younger sister graduated high school, and there was a little, you know, high school graduation, and they played in the backyard. And
I'm like, that's cool.
I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This is a pretty cool band. I wonder if they're gonna make it, you know. And
they kind of did.
They kind of did. Yeah.
I mean, like kind of did. I mean, they weren't even like really at like Jimmy Eat World level, really.
They started touring around with Robert Plant. Did you know
they did. I'm not saying that. I mean, but they were an opening act. Like people wanted to go see Jimmy World as like a headliner. I don't know that Rusted Root ever was like a national headliner. And certainly, I'm going to say the biggest band out of PA when we were emerging was what, Live, right?
Live, yep.
I don't think anyone was bigger. I mean, there might have been bigger bands out of PA, but I mean, like for our era, it was Live. Like as a national act, you've people heard stuff of theirs on the radio.
Right, the people have heard Throwing Copper,
right
album for sure.
Yeah,
and for sure. And I saw them in concert at Penn
State. Oh yeah,
yeah, it wasn't bad.
Oh, you know what? I did see them in concert. I did see them play at Penn State. Yeah, that was a good show. Let's see what else. I'm trying to think of bands that like I see still around that like I thought might have had a chance to get big, but really didn't. Like String Cheese Incident really didn't get as big as like it was kind of always a regional act. Mr. Green Jeans is another PA regional act or PA area regional act. I think they're actually out of Jersey. So yeah, all those bands always fighting to go ahead.
What about Johnny Iris? I mean, he. Donny Iris.
They were national. That was national. They're a national band.
B.E. Taylor.
I don't know if B.E. Taylor was.
I mean,
Donny Iris definitely was.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, not like monster big, but I mean, it was big.
Right.
Bigger. He wasn't like just a bar band.
So I went to vote today.
Cool.
So you know, I was living in another state. Obviously, if you followed me, which you probably haven't, I lived in another state for 11 years. Came back to Pennsylvania here, and
more of the pencil side of Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah. And I registered to vote, and I was, you know, got my license and made sure I was registered to vote. I called the state of Pennsylvania and said, am I registered to vote? They said, you have to call the county. I called the county. They said, you're good. You're good. You're good to go. Would you like a mail-in ballot? And I said, I would not like a mail-in ballot. I would like to vote at the polls. Okay, then we won't do anything. We'll see you at the polls.
Nice.
And so I showed up at the polls this morning, and I said to them, you know, they said, what's your name? And I said, you gave my name. And they said, okay, well, you have a provisional ballot because you don't have your mail-in ballot with you today. And I said, no. I didn't request a
I requested no mail-in ballot.
Right. I requested to mail in to come vote in person, which I'm here, and I'm voting in person. They said, well, where's your mail-in ballot? And it, no, I didn't. I don't have one. Well, I'm going to need to see your ID. Well, wait a minute. In Pennsylvania, that's like...
That's yeah, like, you're not supposed to...
That's right? Voter suppression in Pennsylvania, asking
yeah,
to, see,
for sure.
To see an ID. But I'm like, okay, well, here it is. And I showed it to them. They're like, yeah. Okay, well, here's your provisional ballot. And I said, no, I'm going to need a real ballot because I don't have a mail-in ballot.
Right.
And they said, you're going to have a provisional ballot, and here it is.
Huh.
So now I have a provisional ballot. So I have to wait 7 days after Election Day to see if my vote counted.
Even gets tallied.
It gets tallied, yes.
Wow.
And I went and I called the there was an 800 number. I called them, and they said, wow, okay, so as of right now, nobody has submitted your mail-in ballot as of 11 o'clock this morning, but, you know, who knows? We'll call
when
you
did you move back to PA?
It's been a while. Yeah. But I just didn't go through the motion of changing my voting registration.
Yeah.
But plenty of time. You needed to do it by October 19th, and I did it by October 2nd.
Yep. Yeah, there's no excuse on their part.
No, right. I don't know. None at all. So I was a little ticked today.
Miffed. Yes. Peeved.
So I reached out to quite a few people and told them that, and the local NPR station, and let them know. So they're all looking into it. They all said, we're going to look into it and get back to you. But I have not heard anything yet. Much like my house closing. Not heard anything yet.
Right.
It is now
something else you can check in on there, NPR, is when's my house going to close? Speaking of things.
14 days after said closing, and it's still not closed. So that's not, you know, whatever. So I had that little fun today. What else? I was going to dovetail into something. Oh, I went to the polls and did my civic duty and got to talk to some people, which was good. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
How did your candidate fare? Do you know?
Well, there's a couple I'm pulling for, and last I saw, one of them's faring okay, and the other one, not so much.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
It's democracy in America for you.
Right. Oh, and apparently there's things you can't say on Facebook. I mean, there's, you know, you can't say racist things. You can't say homophobic things. You know, there's just there's just things they stop you on. Well, for the first time ever, I got blocked by Facebook for 24 hours from commenting.
Wow, you went to Facebook jail.
I did. I went to Facebook
jail. What
was
that like?
Well, I'm just in it now. And you know why I went to Facebook jail? Because somebody had mentioned that there was a house divided, right? That some of them were voting. Some of them were voting Republican, and some of them were voting Democrat. And so I said, you know, hey, let's just This is an easy solution. I got an easy solution for you. And this is what I wrote. I said, just vote on different days to avoid consternation. Republicans vote on Tuesday. Democrats vote on Wednesday.
And they said voter false news, voter suppression.
And they said, you got the this. You cannot post or comment on Facebook for 24 hours because you have violated the community standards. This post goes against our standards on voter and census suppression, so nobody else can see it. So,
well, there you have it.
There you have it. I mean, like, I was thinking that people were actually going to think that, you know, you can actually vote tomorrow, you know. But they weren't going to – Facebook was not going to take that chance.
Nope.
So
– they lowered the boom, Mark Zuckerberg.
He did. So
– well, it'd be interesting to see if a Democrat said that, what would the reverse would be if they
it would be very interesting, wouldn't it not? Would it not? So, whatever. Anyway, I've never been in Facebook jail, but now I am, and it's
now you are. See, because now you know what it's like.
Because of my joke. So wait, I mean, there's some. Is there a Facebook community service I can do?
Dude, get out sooner! But it's
no,
one day.
just do, like, you know, just make sure that everybody knows that I'm a good person. You know.
No, I don't think they do that.
How we make decisions. We use the same community standards around the world for everyone on Facebook.
That's interesting. Every language. Same standards. Every culture, every language, same standards.
Yes. We use either technology or a review team to remove anything that doesn't follow our standards as quickly as possible. Now, I posted that about a week ago, so they just got to it. Anyway.
You must be high profile that there's somebody, there's like a file on you, the ed file.
And what would you like to do? Because our community, because our comment goes against our community standards and voter suppression, no one else can see it. I can either accept the decision and no one else will see your comment. You'll no longer be able to review a request. Oh, you'll no longer be able to request a review. Or I can disagree with it, and we can use the feedback to make improvements. Should I disagree or agree with the decision that they gave?
I would disagree.
Let's see. Choose your own adventure here. I think the reaction is too harsh. I've seen similar contact on Facebook. I disagree with the community standards. I think Facebook misunderstood the intent or context of my comment.
There you go. I think that's the one.
I think so.
What is that noise? What is that?
Well, you know, that's Lucy. You know, she's not snoring. She's trying hard to get into a bin that she doesn't need to get into for whatever reason. Because, you know,
she's our mascot dog, Lucy.
Yes. All right, I've moved the bin. Okay, so I think Facebook must understand the intent or content.
That's what I'd go with.
So they're going to review this. Oh, but just keep in mind, they have fewer reviewers available right now because of COVID-19 outbreak.
So here's the thing. Like, if this was April, I could see that. Should there not be, what are we in, 8 months now? Right. It's November. This kicked off in March. Shouldn't there be maybe a new normal that has emerged at Facebook where they kind of find a way to get people reviewing again? I would think there should be.
I would think so, too. I would think so as well. Yes. Well, they're not going to like the fact that I had already gotten a comment removed, and then I pasted the comment as a picture and said apparently Facebook can't take a joke. So I don't know what that's going to come to now.
Mm. Well, how'd you get the post out if you're in Facebook jail?
Well, so I had – you get. I guess you get a – I have in jail because I had a warning.
You had a call to a lawyer, that's it, one post?
I had a warning because I posted that. And then I posted this as a comment, but I had posted a week before. So they just caught that one from a week before. So does that make sense?
Sure.
No, not really. But that's how it is.
I don't run a multi-billion dollar social media empire, so I wouldn't know.
No, nor do I.
I wouldn't have thought there was a need for things like Facebook jail.
No.
But here we are, there is, so.
Well, I mean, I'm lucky that they're just sending me to jail. I mean, they could kick me off of Facebook forever.
Forever. Off of Facebook forever.
And they have not. Probably because they want my advertising money. That, or, you know, they want to learn
advertise to you.
Yeah, right. So, and they want, you know, to collect data from me. And
yes.
And I'm more valuable than not to them. So
they want to mine your data.
Exactly.
Someone should, right?
Oh, you know. At least it tells you somebody cares.
At least I'm being watched by an overlord that is concerned with my
spending
commercial
habits.
Well-being.
Right.
Spending habits, at the very least. So, yeah, that's Facebook for you. It's an interesting election this year. Definitely a tight race, it would seem, from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I just heard.
That
Vegas, you know, had Trump losing the election.
Really?
That they had Biden at 64% and Trump at, you know, 39%.
Okay. That's changed.
And that has changed. Now it is a Trump at 65% and Biden at 39%. So the bettors at Vegas have switched their voting.
Well, the VIG, because they're just totally about just trying to get people on both sides to bet.
Sure.
So more people are betting on Trump, it seems, so they have to offer worse odds so they can even things out. Because the VIG is only designed to make sure that they get enough money from both sides to collect their fee.
Sure.
That's what it's all about.
It is. That is true. That is true. But no, it is a interesting race.
It's a definite close one. I mean, a lot of the different competitive states. I think both sides were a little surprised with.
I'm sorry. I don't really mean to. Yeah, I do. I'm really surprised that, you know, I just the D moniker. I mean, how much the D brings you. I mean, the D is bringing a lot home tonight,
mm-hmm.
more than I thought it would.
I think, and I think inversely, I think a lot of Democrats are surprised that Trump's performing as well as he's doing. Which, I mean, you got to think. I mean, like, he's the incumbent.
Yes.
So he like, just if you have any race, and you're going to make a bet, you know nothing about it, you could say, well, whoever the incumbent is, I'll bet on them. You're gonna win a lot of times.
Right. I don't know. But if you paid attention, I mean I understand. I really don't. If you paid attention to what Biden has said and just the words that have come out of his mind, and if you've noticed the acuity of his language and how it's completely degraded over, you know, a short period of time. It's just you can tell that the, you know, the elevator doesn't go all the way up and down anymore.
I don't know. I don't agree. No, I don't think he's had a sharp. If you think he's got Alzheimer's,
I do.
No, I don't. So when was he lost in the debate that he had Alzheimer's? Have you seen people with dementia?
I've seen that. Well, I mean, he's slurring his words. I mean, maybe it's not Alzheimer's, but he's got something going on. He's not as sharp.
He's always had a stutter.
Yeah, but he's not slurred his words.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fine. I mean, people say the same thing about, you know, Trump, that he, you know, that was the thing early on. I mean, that's nice. It's interesting for the armchair psychologists.
All right.
You know, as it stands, that's fine. If you got that diagnosis, you can do it online. That's great. I think Biden was fighting a tough race. I think Trump being incumbent is always going to be the tough guy to beat. And I think what we're seeing with this race is COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter coming to the forefront. If those two things weren't happening, I think Trump would be winning pretty handily. I think it's a tight race because of those two issues. I think COVID in particular got Biden into the race. Got trouble with the audio?
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I think just COVID in general. It's not like take however Trump handled it out of it. Just COVID-19 being bad is being held against the president. And Black Lives Matter, all the protests and the unrest. Again, that's just stuff that was held against them. So if those two things weren't happening and Trump had an uninterrupted like economic, you know, gain, it didn't have the setback with COVID-19 and he didn't have any like major unrest over the summer, I think he'd be winning pretty handily. And I think those the two things he's running against more than anything else, Biden. Biden's, I think, mostly a placeholder against Trump. I think it probably could have been a lot of different people. they needed somebody who was like a white guy, because anybody who was a minority, I think, wasn't going to do well this year. For all the reasons that I just mentioned previously, because Black Lives Matter is very contentious. So, both sides are turning out pretty heavy. Kamala Harris will be an interesting call whether or not she's a good pick or not. If there's probably one name, that's what I think. We'll take what you want about your mental analysis on him. I think him picking Kamala Harris was way more of impact, negative impact, than anything to do with debate performance.
It was a negative. It was a negative to pick her.
Yeah, I think she holds him back. I mean, I think she might. She may have motivated Dem voters for him. So maybe that's the other side of it. Like, but even still, she had a lot of Democratic voters that they were ticked off with her because of her actions in the DA's office back in California.
You mean some of the decisions and her harshness of sentencing and everything?
Yeah, she had very harsh sentencing. There's a lot of BLM voters that were not happy with her. So they had that potentially in there, but more importantly, there's a lot of Republican voters that were seeing her as the one who was like the socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Like Biden was just kind of the empty suit, Kamala Harris the socialist, and that I think more than anything else might be like a driving factor if we see like the red states, if Trump can maintain the lead. I think that might be something they'll have to look at to see if that's the reason why. I think she put off a lot of people, and you know, it doesn't matter why, just like Hillary Clinton, the fact she put off a lot of people, that's I think the main reason why the Democrats lost last time. They just did not like Hillary Clinton. And I think it's the same thing with Kamala Harris. There's a chance that she might have turned off voters to the point that they're worried about what she's going to do in office. So mm-hmm. We'll see. It's early yet.
It is. It is. Your call last week was Biden, and my call last week was Trump.
Yeah, and I was just going by what they were projecting odds at. Looks like it's going to be a close race.
It does.
The question is afterwards, too, like in a Trump victory, I still am concerned about what happens, like a lot of places.
I mean, they're boarding up L.A. They're boarding up lots of places, lots of towns and cities.
Downtown New York City.
Yeah, New York City.
Los Angeles. Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's about outrage rioting. So we'll see. I certainly hope that doesn't happen. I still maintain I'm much less worried about like a GOP whatever, you know, like yeah. marching on the cities. Like, I just don't see that happening.
No,
I'd be very surprised.
I've been to enough Republican events. I've been to enough conservative party events that it's like, I mean, crying out loud, they pick up their own trash at the end of the night, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like the one that they hold out is like the Charlottesville thing, and that was 4 years ago, or you know, almost 4 years ago. There's a new production out too early to call. So I don't foresee anything with that. If Trump loses, do you think he does not pass a stimulus package?
I don't know. I mean, well, that's hard. That's hard to tell. I mean, Trump really has not lost. So, I mean, he's pretty much been a success in a lot of things. So, I don't know. Does he
get... Well, I mean, he's had setbacks. I mean, he's had bankruptcies and stuff like that.
Sure.
I mean, the question is, does he consider tonight, like, it when it comes to his presidency?
And he kind of, yeah, and he just kind of goes out in a blaze and says, forget it. I'm not going to pass this.
Or a non-blaze. I'm just, I'm done. Like, I got Amy Comey Barrett on the court. You know, I, like, what other conservative objective would he need to fulfill?
Right, right. I don't know. Tax cuts, permanent tax cuts, or as much?
Well, I mean, there's no such thing. I mean, tax cuts always decided by
who's in power.
Yeah, who's in the power. There's no such thing as permanent. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they, because you know they kind of just said, okay, well, we're done. You know, the Senate, Mitch McConnell just kind of called it. What's her name throughout the deadline? Pelosi, we need to get this done by such and such a date. That came and went. And he says, well, okay, well, we're not going back to the 9th. So that's about it.
Yeah,
I would be surprised if he lost if he'd pass the stimulus package. I don't know that the Senate would send one to him.
Right, right.
Which I think is like unfortunate because actually one of the big things going on right now is there's about to be like a big wave of foreclosures that are about to hit.
Oh yeah, I mean people owe rent. And, you know, they're living in apartments. Even if they're living in an apartment, they can't pay rent. Well, the landlord still needs to pay rent. They don't own the building. They have a mortgage. So, yeah, they're going to have to kick people out.
Right. So, what happens with those people is the question. I don't know. It may be that it's in the economy's best interest to get something through. And then it comes down to, you know, do the Democrats come to the table? You know, does something pass the House? So this would be after a Biden loss. Would they accept the lower package that the Senate wanted, which is still a pretty significant amount of money?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're debating like $400 billion. Which is not an insignificant amount of money, but it's like 1.4 versus like $1.8 trillion.
Right.
So and like a big chunk of money.
Right. And I don't know. The last I heard, the differences were, you know, it was touted as pork for the Democrats.
Well, it depends who. Yeah. I mean, it was related to COVID-19 spending in the cities. Specifically in Democratic cities.
Well, maybe they tightened it up, but I know a lot of it was like review boards. How do they say that? Like diversity review boards for companies.
Yeah. We'd have to see. You think that was $400 billion worth? I think it was probably city spending, and they. Because they represent cities. So they're trying to get an extra, it would have been a higher percentage of money for cities than everybody else got. And then the GOP representing more rural counties didn't want a higher percentage going to cities.
Okay.
I mean, that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because it's $400 billion that would have not have gone to GOP strongholds. So I can see why they wouldn't have gone along with it just from the constituency standpoint.
No, but at the same time, you want to get stuff. You want to get money to the people. If you're going to have a stimulus bill, you want to get it out.
Yeah. There's plenty of money that would have gone to the cities. I think it's the extra money that would have gotten there for whatever, you know, COVID-y type stuff that the Dems are more concerned with.
Right.
And I think it's just, I think, as it always comes down to, it's I think it's just kind of a standard story. It's like in proportionality. I think the strongholds where there's a higher population want a higher dollar amount, and counties want it more like, you know, a little more flatter. They don't want them to get much higher amounts, and I think that's what it came down to. So we will see. I think Trump would probably, if he lost the election, I think he would probably be focused. I mean, because it looks like it's going to be tight. I think he's going to focus on like legal challenges, were he to lose, and wouldn't necessarily be really trying to hammer out some big package. That'd be my guess. Because I like this. This isn't like Biden's not going to run away with it. Should he win? So there's going to be every state that's within like the margin of error. They're going to like call for the recount, you know, analyze, you know, what ballots came in from where, any irregularities.
I'm going to say it's going to happen on both sides. I'm going to say that.
Oh, well, no, the winner will not challenge votes.
No, right.
Well, I'm just saying if Biden loses, he will absolutely challenge all the votes.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden's not in office. So, of course, he's going to challenge votes. What else is he going to do? Like, walk around Delaware. I mean, he doesn't have anything to do. Trump's got, you know, the free world to run. So he has to, you know, choose his actions. And I do think he will focus on any potential legal challenge if it comes down to it. If that makes a difference to win the presidency, I think he'll fight every bit as hard as the Bush administration did, or pardon me, as George Bush did. In 2000, and that made a big difference. Bush won,
mm-hmm.
On a really really small margin in Florida. So we'll see.
Well,
I don't know if it's going to come down to one state like that day.
No, right. I know it's I really wished that it would be, you know, blow out of the water either way.
Really?
I don't know. I don't.
I mean, you'd have been great with a Biden blowout win.
No. I wouldn't. But at least. No, you're right. I wouldn't.
I guess I really would have been. Nobody means that. I'd rather see that. I hate a close game, they'll say. I hate losing a close game. You just hate losing. Like, whether it was a big loss. No, you don't wish it was a big loss. Of course, you know.
I just wish that Trump won big. That's what I think.
That's all. That's all you mean. Yeah. Right, sure.
Okay.
That's all you mean. You wish Trump had it locked up already.
Right. I wish, like, California closes and they were like, oh, my gosh, 1% of the vote in. We're declaring Trump the winner.
Trump the winner, exactly.
So.
Like, since Reagan, it's the first time they've won. GOP since Reagan was in. Yeah, you don't mean that.
No, I don't. Well, you know what? Who has gone predominantly Democrat the most, and straight since 2016?
Who's that?
DC.
Oh yeah, that's pretty liberal. I think they. I don't. When's the last time I saw a GOP won in DC? Wasn't Bush.
No, it was a long time ago. Was it Reagan?
I don't think it was. It may have been Reagan.
Oh, no, yeah, I think Reagan Mondale. It might have been Reagan the first time.
Well, the second time I thought was the big win, right?
Yeah, Reagan Mondale. Yeah, Reagan versus Mondale.
That's when he just trashed everybody, I think, was Reagan Mondale.
Yeah, I think they won.
Like, trashed them. I think they
won like, DC in Minnesota blowout. Or something.
So, something. Something very bad for the Democrats.
People are like, well, we at least have Pepsi. Come on. We still get to keep our Pepsi, right?
Right.
because they were really pushing the, you know, the taste of a new generation, the choice of a new generation. So, man, that was a mistake.
So was the new Coke. So everybody made mistakes.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. Did you try the new Coke?
I did. I wasn't a fan.
No.
I think everybody tried the new Coke at some point, right?
It almost seemed like, but that almost seemed like that was like the bad move that worked out for the best.
It's because like, then everybody remembered how much they liked Coke.
Classic Coke, yeah. They're like, yeah, give it back to us. Don't do this again. We'll be okay. We'll be faithfully to you from now on. And I don't think they ever look back. I think they're still number one.
Well, you know what they did that angered some of their newer customers. They changed up on Coke Zero.
What was the change?
And I don't know. I had some friends who are Coke Zero fans and hated the new Coke Zero.
Hmm.
And I don't know what the difference was, but they're upset by the change.
Wonder why.
And,
who knows? Wonder what the change was.
A good question.
Well. So I don't know. It's just interesting that we're here at the election. I mean, I just never thought that it was going to get here. Really, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to be over. I wish we had different candidates.
Well, we will next time.
We will next time.
What is the DNC going to do? I mean, they really can't. I mean, Bernie Sanders is not going to run in 4 years.
Warren won't be in the picture. Sanders won't be in the picture. Biden, if he loses, obviously won't be in the picture. I don't think he'll be in the picture if he wins. he is old. So you've got, who was the younger? We had, Castro.
Buttigieg,
Cory Booker. Steyer. I think Kamala Harris has baggage. I just think she's already got the target on her. I don't think she's actually much of a socialist. I think what's going to actually really hold her back is her DA record. She just isn't going to win over the progressives. Just from what I've been reading, I think the issue with the Democrats right now is that the Democratic movement is kind of torn on where to go. Like the Republican movement, I think, was torn about Trump, but they're still kind of generally like aren't Democrats.
They got to do GOP things. But they didn't have to vote for and go along with, you know, Democrat stimulus bills and, you know, packages, right?
The big thing, the big things I would say that like any GOP people are concerned with are taxes in the Supreme Court. So you get, is it 3.3?
He got 0.3, yeah. Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, I always forget. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets 3 seats. They should be happy with all of them. Those are pretty, those aren't people like, what are you doing? they conform with that. They got the tax cut, which was a big, like, pretty significant. You know, Biden would definitely increase on the, you know, the higher earners, and then in particular on the cap gains is really pretty big. So not just the higher earners thing, but the cap gain tax going way up. So it's not like there's like a few points up on the income, but the capital gains going up from like 8 points, which is like close to 30% tax hike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it goes up close to 30%, but it's like 30% of what they like were already paying in taxes. So that's pretty huge.
Right.
So that's a big deal. So when it comes to those things, that was pretty pretty GOP. You know, the tariff stuff, that's, you know, it's trade wars, and I don't think those are standard GOP economics, but I don't know if the average voter like cares about like free market economies. So I don't know that having tariffs like hurt him. So
what? Yeah. And so great. I just lost my train of thought. It was gone. It rode the Trump train. Rode the Trump train off to nowhere. You were talking about taxes and GDP, and I was listening to another great moment in radio. I've been yawning. I was listening to people talking about taxes, and they're like, "Oh, this person definitely has to vote for Trump because she has, you know, $1 million or so locked up in savings, and as soon as Biden gets elected, you know, he's gonna change all that taxes over $400,000. It's like, no, that's on earnings. That's not on savings.
Oh yeah, it's right. Well, but no. So if you've got $1 million, it's true. But if you have $1 million and you earned 5% on your cap gains, so 50 grand, your taxation under Trump would be 10 grand. Your taxation under Biden would be 15. So that's not insignificant.
No, it's not.
So if you are the type of person, you know, who's of an elite level, I mean, we're talking about $1 million. We're talking like, you know, $50 million. Like if you've got a big amount of wealth, that number gets bigger and bigger. So just, you know, just key up from there. If it's, you know, 15 grand for every, you know, 50 you earn or whatever. So if you just key that up, if you get like, if you do get $1 million in income, you know, like in investment income, however that may be, that's going to be pretty significant.
Yeah. I don't like, you know, people just saying offhand, well, you're loaded. What does it matter to you?
No, right. So, I mean, I don't want, I'm not a big fan of the wealth tax idea. Actually, there was a conservative argument from a guy, I think he was George Mason, Buchanan. He's an economist, and it's funny because he was slated as being like he's this real evil guy because you know, obviously pretty conservative, but he was pro inheritance tax because he didn't want people to like have ongoing familial wealth. Like it's okay to like that you got enough money for your kid to buy a house, like that was like fine, but they shouldn't inherit in his eyes like an empire. Like that should just be, you know, a publicly traded company at that point, and then other people can, like, he didn't want to have an oligarchy based on wealth. But that was interesting. I think for the most part we do have wealth concentrated in companies anyway. It's rare for a company to be like wholly owned by a family. Like families can do well with it, but like Walmart's publicly traded.
Sure.
I'm sure the family has a significant portion of it, but I don't think like they're like the 90% shareholder of Walmart.
I'm pretty sure they're more than 60% though. Well,
yeah, but that's within different members, right?
Sure, sure. Oh yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, there you have it. He might have. I don't have his paper handy, so I can't tell you how much he thought Walmart should have been split up. But you know, he was against any sort of like ongoing feudal type system where people just had enough money that they never have to worry about earning more, like doing their own thing. So I thought that was an interesting take, and he was a conservative guy.
So like Alice Walton, you know, she's worth billions and billions of dollars.
He's probably against that. He's probably worth against her being worth billions.
She'd have to give up a fair percentage of it.
Yeah, I think she'd probably get to keep, like, in his eyes, like, $10 million or something like that.
Wow. Where would it go? To the government? The government would get the
Well, ideally the tax would be more like a threat. So you'd put the money, you'd just keep the money within the company.
Okay.
And then
I'm not gonna do that. Okay, well then you're gonna keep the company and the money. It's not gonna be something you're gonna take with you. That it's going to go to the shareholders, it's going to go to the
Right. Basically, the idea, I think his idea was ultimately, it's like a, if you just give this to your kid, we're going to take a huge percentage. So therefore, just don't give it to your kid. Give them a certain amount of money up to what the inheritance tax allows, and then beyond that, just let it sit with the corporation. You could probably just game that to be a partial ownership thing anyway, though, so I don't know how that works. But that was his thought. It was interesting. So you're a conservative. What do you feel about, like, companies ruling the roost? Because that's starting to happen, like, tech companies. Like Facebook, putting you in Facebook jail.
You mean like monopoly kind of sort of things?
Sure, like monopolies, but just in general, like very rich people kind of like calling the shots in society.
No, I mean, I'm obviously, you know, I can see what, you know, getting thrown in the Facebook jail isn't nice. The fact that, you know, Twitter comes up and says, hey, we're a private company, you know, you can't tell us what we can publish or not publish. We have standards and we stand by them. And if you don't like it, you just don't use this medium.
Bounce in.
You know, mm-hmm. Right. So, but people do. And that's why, you know, that's why you're there. And there's a point where, like, you say that. I mean, I can understand. There's a point where people say, how much power is too much power?
Yep.
And it's seemingly possible that you can have too much power. I mean, not that you're worried about, you know, somebody starting a competitive Twitter page, more the fact that somebody has a competing idea in something, anything, in automobiles or energy or politics. And Twitter can shut it down. So, you know, your idea is just not there anymore, right?
Yep.
And it gets complicated. You know,
it gets very complicated.
I guess in the 80s, I was against the breaking up of the bells. You know, the bell into the baby bells. Breaking up's hard to do, Neil Sedaka, you know,
ultimately I think it was for the best.
But yeah, no, I can see why. I think that the stronghold that a Twitter and a Facebook and a Google have, it has much more impact, has much more.
When you think of where the internet sits in our lives. And the idea that Google can control searches to the extent where someone can, you know, if they pay them enough money, can become like the competitive owner of any particular like field in any area just by spending enough money on Google, regardless of what they're doing to earn business in that area. It's a little concerning to me.
Right. You know, the Daewoo can make a car and compete with GMC or Ford if Google wants it to happen, right?
It's like it doesn't even have to be a Daewoo, right? It just has to be someone saying they can sell you a car better than the local car dealership. And they don't even have to be in the area. Like, they can say, well, we're the best car dealer in Maryland. I'm the best car dealer in Pennsylvania. And they might not even have cars in Pennsylvania. They just like ship them there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they because they can just claim it.
Sure.
Because they can represent themselves anywhere. There's not really much truth in advertising.
No, no, right. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, that's interesting problems. Problems that we didn't have to deal with before.
Right. It's very – yeah, because – well, before you had broadcast ranges.
Right. Look,
those like the controlled by the government.
You had a local market.
Right.
That was local because people couldn't enter into the sound of your voice for radio. You know, there was –
well, and it was federally mandated on what kind of power you could broadcast at. So I couldn't be like, you know what? I'm going to make an even bigger tower than that guy in Ohio. And I'm going to broadcast even further.
10 million watts.
10 million watts. I mean, you run into practicalities on like how big of a tower you can make and like powering it and stuff like that. But
yeah,
there's like you have to broadcast on specific frequencies. If your band leaks, you can get fined, you know, stuff like that. That's all government mandated. There is no such government mandate when it comes to Google. You know, I can only accept ads from a certain area. Now there's no such thing. It's just google.com. People go there. And Google sells anybody ads from anywhere in the entire world. You know, Facebook same way, you know, Twitter. Does Twitter make money?
I guess so.
Supposedly.
I mean, the guy doesn't cut his beard, but
rumor has it they make money.
Yeah, I'm sure they make money somehow.
I don't know how much of that is just like, you know, investor capital. Like, oh, you know, they're going to make money at some point. They have to. I think we talked about that in my rant.
Amazon did eventually, remember?
Well, Amazon did make money. Amazon was a loss leader for the longest time, but they eventually did make money.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what, you know, the idea is with Twitter.
Everybody feels they're going to make money someday. The question is, are they going to make money right now?
And with that, we are going to go on break.
Cool.
So we, again, please consider donating to Revolution Radio for this fine station. 13 radio stations everywhere. We will see you after the break. Thank you.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
just as a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I've been looking at some local races in Pennsylvania during the break. And
speaking of races, what you should be doing right now is potentially racing to your computer so you can make a donation to Revolution Radio.
That's right. Just one small donation helps out a lot.
It does help out a lot. If you like listening to shows like this one, other ones, any show, shows in general. If you like Broadway shows, if you like TV shows, no matter what, you should donate to Revolution Radio because we provide a unique insight that really you're not going to find anywhere else online. I've checked. I have looked. This ain't your standard podcast.
It is not.
It's not. Well, no. I don't mean just us. Just anywhere. All the Revolution Radio shows are just not your standard fare.
No.
This is not like someone sipping coffee and talking about a serial killer. How done is that? How bad is that? We're not talking about just some TV show that's on right now, show of the moment. I mean, we can, but we're not going to talk about it incessantly. No. You want to talk about political races from a very different point of view? Talk about aliens, afterlife, reincarnation, astrology, revolution itself. You're in the right place. Except for this show, because basically we're pretty boring.
I mean
that in the nicest ways. We're not boring. I think we're very unique.
We are. Seriously.
We march the beats of our own drummers. Specifically Donovan from Rusted Root.
Hey, right. The fact that you do not get analysis like this just anywhere.
No, you don't.
And I pride myself on being different. I mean...
As do I.
I mean, you know, a lot of people say... You're not different. You're just stupid, but, you know.
But, like, Facebook may make that assessment. They'll put you in their jail.
But I'll tell you, I think it's been great that I've been able to been on NPR radio and been and interviewed. I think the people that listen to what I say in this, just these little segments, I think people that are really paying attention can see that there's a difference in what I'm saying. Also, on the same token, I do not get the same insight I get out of anybody else from talking to you. I'm serious.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, you do have a good angle. I don't always agree with it, but you do always have a
good... Well, I mean, why would you? I mean, if you if you'd agreed with everything I said, you wouldn't need two people, right?
Right. There would not be it. But I think that you have such good insight in a lot of ways that, I mean, seriously, there's just... Things can be very complicated, but they don't have to be. I mean... You know, I mean, some things are usual suspects, right? If you think that the, you know, like the line of the usual suspects, if you think that the brother is the one that's the murderer, well, he probably is, right? Because it just makes the most sense. And Aaron, you're able to make the most sense in a plethora of ways that you can reduce it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And make it simple.
Actually, you know what? You asked me over the was it over the weekend? You were having a political debate with somebody.
I was.
And what was his stance?
Well, he was a first of all, he said
he was Democrat. He was liberal.
Democrat, Biden supporter, and he said,
"Sure,
you know, you really, you know, there's nobody that's going to come at me with a good." Reason to support Trump on taxes, because the Trump tax plan is just stupid, and there's nobody who's going to be able to come up with a good answer.
I think now I remember. I think it wasn't just that. It's like if you earned below a certain amount of money, there was no reason to support the Trump tax plan.
He did right. He did say that. Yes. Yes. Correct. That is an important part of it. Yes.
Yeah. And. Like the point that I think, so I guess say what you want about like personal taxes and what have you, but the big part about the Trump tax policy versus Biden's that does have impacts for everybody is the corporate tax rate. Because the corporate tax rate, you know, it's not like they can take action to deal with the corporate tax rate. And that action is namely raise prices on us. And the corporate tax rate under Biden, I think, would go up pretty significantly. I think, again, it's like the tax cap gains would go up by quite a bit. So like a significant amount of increase when it comes to corporate taxation. Now, as we saw with the president's tax records, it's fluid. Like, people don't attempt to pay as much as they can in taxes. So Amazon, maybe even more famously than Trump, didn't pay a lot of taxes. I think none taxes, because they'll do capital investments. So one way you can avoid really ever paying taxes is buying heavy equipment and whatnot that depreciates over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that defers your taxation, because people wonder how they get these tax breaks. That's a big one. So if you're constantly building, constantly investing in your data centers and whatnot, you are finding ways to avoid having to pay taxes in a way that's going to benefit you and your company, if not immediately, at least over time.
Right, and unless you're replacing that, you know, that equipment, unless you're replacing your distribution centers and your, you know, your conveyor belts and your trucks and everything like that, always within your depreciation schedule, you're going to run out of room of growth at some point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you have right. If right, like you have to be growing to do that.
Right.
Like, you just can't just buy new, like, yeah, if you're replacing it, then it's not gonna, it's gotta be new equipment, new investment and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that the concept behind that is that you want companies, private companies, to be growing, to be expanding, you know, to doing hiring. I think that was kind of like the point you were trying to get at about like who signs paychecks.
Right. I mean, they're right. So there is, I guess that would be trickle-down economics, right?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, I think the difference, the trickle down side of it has more to do with like the personal tax, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That, you know, if you have a higher personal tax or a lower personal tax rate, that money stays within banks. Banks lend out the money. You know, people invest in their own things and they spur the economy on. And that's better use of dollars than just handing it to somebody that's going to consume the dollars and then not generate anything of greater value from it. So that's where I think it was at. The corporate tax thing is just you know, a direct impact on the economy. They can raise rates on what they charge, and the consumer has to pay higher money.
Right.
Which doesn't happen if you can have a debate on whether or not the personal taxation lower rates trickles down the economy. If you've got a higher tax rate on companies, you absolutely have raised the prices of those.
Right. They're not going to have a board meeting and say, you know what, our taxes went up. So the CEO is not going to make as much money this year, and everybody else is going to have to take this pay cut because our cost of doing business has risen.
I mean, they might have that discussion, but that comes after they raise prices.
Right, right. That's not the first thing they're going to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you see it right on, like, because like the immediate thing is the sales tax. Mm-hmm. They don't have to charge you a sales tax. They do have to pay it.
Sure. Right.
So, but they don't have to charge you. They don't have to charge you. Like in PA, was it 6%, 6.5%?
6% everywhere, but Allegheny County and in Philadelphia, 7%. There's an extra percent.
Seven. Yeah. Like if the government said, you know, if they said, you know, it's, it'll be $10 for that burger, fries, and Coke. You give them $10, and the government said, hey, you didn't charge that guy an extra 70 cents. They're not going to come after the guy that didn't pay the extra 70. They're going to come after the company. So if the company decided to say, you know what, I'll make 9.30. Here's 70 cents. That could happen. You'll notice it never does.
No.
You'll notice it never, ever does. Corporate tax is the same way, right? The sales tax, it's your corporate tax is the taxation on total earnings after depreciation and other things like that. So, yeah, they'll pass that cost down onto you, and that has a real impact. So if Amazon had a higher price to pay, or had higher taxes to pay, our costs would go up.
No,
and you could play. You might have a scaled tax, like you might tell if you earn a certain amount, and you can kind of like try to pay favorites towards smaller companies. But again, that's not really allowing the market to define. So people kind of like look down on having market winners, like people winning in the market,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of unfortunate because that just means we're kind of like penalizing people for being successful, which isn't good. I don't think it's good.
No, no. It penalizes other people from wanting to be successful.
Right. If you've got a significant penalty for people that create and maintain a successful company, there won't be motivations to create successful companies, and then they don't happen. I think like the prime example of that was you know, the Soviet Union. Like they never really had comparable to the United States living standards.
No.
And if you look at the living standards between like 1912 United States versus like 1970 United States, they went up substantially. Now, yeah, like the Soviet Union had further to go, and they did bridge some of the gap somewhat, but they never really got to where we were standards wise. And if it was so much more efficient than us, it was so much better at like dealing with goods and, you know, providing, you know, dealing with scarcity and providing more goods for it, they should have surpassed us.
Right.
Having a complete command economy that was like devoid of competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but as it turned out, Russia had problems feeding its own people.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely. Well, I mean, like particularly early on,
sure.
They, and you know, World War II didn't help matters much. So, I mean, there's factors. But just in general, like there's been no establishment that at any point in time has a completely planned economy outperformed competitive economies, capitalism.
So back to this this post. Would it surprise you to know that the person that posed the question and then made a comment, would it surprise you that he is a self-described millionaire, self-described investor, that he has made much money off of his investing and his
I do think that there are a number of people that are like that consider themselves to be very socially liberal. And when they look at Biden's tax hikes, which are modest versus what AOC would want,
mm-hmm.
They see that as something that they like, that's a burden that they could bear. So he could make the choice to say, well, you know, I have it good, but I can afford to give an extra 10% of my wealth away, 10% of my money away, which is, you know, again, it's like he's usually giving like 20% if he's doing earnings. So if he's doing all cap gains, it'd be up to like 30%. So that's actually a 50% increase. So 34. So he might consider himself to be like magnanimously like offering of his wealth to contribute to a more liberal society. I think that's the George Soros type of guy. He's got a lot of money and funds like lefty type stuff. That's that kind of mentality. But I'm not super surprised. Like I think Mark Cuban's kind of turning into that guy, kind of guy too. Bill Gates. There's people like that out there that are, you know, kind of lefty, kind of do-gooder types. Well, actually less Bill Gates because he doesn't actually ever want to change the tax code. Like he'll donate his money, but he's like not like paying Seattle an income tax.
No.
Which he never did. I think that's why he was in Washington, actually. That's why what's his name's up there too, Jeff Bezos. There's no state income tax, I believe. I don't even know if there's local income taxes, which is kind of funny for as liberal as they are to do like to get rid of two like fundamental ways of generating cash. It's kind of funny. Anyway.
No, agreed. Well, okay. Well,
my long story short is I'm not terribly surprised to hear that he was not a or as they self-described millionaire investor.
Other than capital, we had no real value. Most of that capital was either inherited or 90% luck.
So did he inherit his money?
No, I don't. No, he didn't.
So he thought it was 90% luck.
I guess he's just 90% lucky. Yeah. The fact that you were born to in the U.S. to white parents. That was the other thing.
Wow. Okay. I know a lot of people are born to white parents that aren't millionaires.
Right.
So, I mean, like, again, that's like stretching privilege. So, like, do I think people that were born white deal better with cops? Sure. Yep. Yeah, I think so. Does everybody who's like in the who's white have a bunch of familial wealth? No.
No. I didn't come from wealth. I'm yeah. Living in the house that that I was born in, and it six people lived in it. It didn't we were busting out of the seams of this house. We barely kept it up. Almost lost it. Hard time keeping the lights on. and you know, people wouldn't be able to say to me and have me believe it that you know, it was only because I was white that we were able to keep the house. You know, just imagine if you were of color, you would have lost it. You would have definitely
I mean, that's the difference. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, it was more likely that you were able to keep it because by being white, but to say then you definitely were able to keep it because you're white, and then all white people are to be able to keep houses in those cases, and all black people can't. It's just not accurate.
Right.
You know, it's just not. I mean, you can certainly be foreclosed upon as a white American.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, it's just a little crazy. I think that's another thing that I think this election kind of heightened, like sensitivities about standing, social status, stuff like that. I think the Trump movement's as much about like guys like your friend there making posts like that. That they can kind of see as condescending. You know, why would you vote for him? Why would you vote for a tax policy when you're not even in the position I'm in, and I'm voting for Biden? So I think there's a lot of that the Democrats don't do a very good job of like bridging.
Mm-hmm. No.
And this is why I think we're seeing troubles like, you know, I'm looking at the screen now, you know, Wisconsin, Trump ahead, Ohio, you know, Trump ahead. You know, we'll see about these other states, you know. it's one thing to like have your general election candidate like barnstorm and show up. And what were you doing there for 4 years? And that's what I think's been a feather in cap for the Trump campaign, is they did go after voters that felt alienated. I don't know what he delivered to them. I don't live in those communities, so I don't know what he got them, what they feel they've gotten out of the Trump presidency. I don't know if it's a matter of I don't know what a Rust Belt worker in Ohio wants. Like if they're really concerned about like Supreme Court at all. So,
right.
I think it's more about you know, their impression of Democrats, you know, kind of being. I think that's, you know, no matter what, because this will be like a thing. You'll have like a lot of podcasters and whatnot will say, "Well, Democrats are billed as elitist," but you know, look at Donald Trump; he's a billionaire. They don't mean the politician when they're talking about Democrats being elitist.
Hmm.
You know, it's like the divide about who went to college and who didn't go to college. And, you know, who's living in the city and who's living in more, like, more rural areas. And that kind of like divide, like people in the rural areas thinking the city people think they're better than them. And yeah, a lot of times they do. And, you know, Trump going to these areas and getting people, you know, psyched to vote for him, you know, has been successful. It got him to beat Hillary Clinton in a low turnout election, and in what appears to be a high turnout election, it's another fight. he's been successful with the strategy. I mean, we'll see, but I mean, it's not going to be, he won't lose in a blowout this year.
No.
I mean, I think that's pretty established now. you know, every state that they're fighting over, I don't think there was anything other than Trump that got them to be as motivated as they are right now. And again, had it not been for COVID-19, and had it not been for the arrest, the unrest over the summer, I think Trump would be winning handily.
It is amazing. It is amazing how those two events just, you know, to knock somebody off a high perch, you know,
Right, and like in. So, and like the Democrats taking a swing at Trump will be like, well, you know, he caused X number of whatever to happen with COVID-19. They weren't going to vote for him, though. You know what I mean? So if COVID-19 worked out and they had like here's the policy. You want me testing early? Okay, I'm going to test early. Done. You want everything closed down? Shut down. Done. If you had him enacting a nationwide, like, we got to keep things closed, we got to get this thing under control, had he done all that, there would not be, like, people that are staunchly Democrat saying, well, you know what, he really did it all.
He
really handled it well, so, I mean, I got to give it to him.
No, but, it would have been a completely different, you know, list of complaints. He shut down the economy.
It would have been they did. You know, they kind of did talk out of both sides of their mouth. There was both the complaint that he didn't do enough, and that the COVID-19, you know, had the effect that it did. I think, as I've said before, COVID-19 in and of itself is a huge problem that just. There was not like a ideological answer that you can just go do and it was going to solve it. Like it's a contagious virus, has a lot of problems. And it isn't dealt with easily. And it's not going to be dealt with easily, especially if there's like long-term effects, which is kind of scary.
That is scary.
So it's not like a, you know, like a platform item, like 38B, make COVID go away. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not that easy, you know. So, had COVID not happened, and had you know, Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and everybody else who, you know, had the issues over the summer, had those not occurred, I think you would be looking at probably a Trump, at least a very handy victory, if not a Trump like landslide. I think it was heading that way when they like really beat the impeachment.
Yep. Oh, sure.
I mean, that was just a real low moment for the Democrats. And if that's where they left off at for this election, I think that would have been it. As it stands right now, Trump getting sick with COVID-19, I don't think that seems to have really affected him. I don't think that's a factor. I don't think any voter was like, well, I got sick with it. I was going to vote for Trump, but he got sick and now I'm voting for Biden. That doesn't seem to have happened.
No, especially if they watched him at rallies the last couple of days. I mean, he was dancing in Florida and he's had.
Well, I mean, like if they're like, if that was some sort of repudiation on how he was handling COVID.
Oh, I see.
Like that didn't seem to be like any sort of effect.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I think he would have won pretty handily had it not been for those two things.
Right.
If he wins it tight, I think Biden is not going to be able to overturn anything in court. No. I'd be like there, I know there's the ballots that got held up in Texas, but that, you know, that went through. You know, there's some like counting issues with certain states, I guess. But they seem to just go with whatever the lower court decision was. So maybe there'll be something there, but I don't know that there's going to be that many like tight elections that it's going to go away. I think. If it goes to, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, here we are, 11:30.
Yes.
And you know, the Washington, the Oregon, the California, they have all gone for Biden, like we thought. I mean, like everybody's thought. The Maine, the Vermont, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Connecticut, Delaware, and D.C., and Colorado, and Illinois, they've all gone blue, as anybody could predict, right?
Yeah, yeah, you don't have to be, you don't need a crystal ball.
I mean, so, I mean, Biden's a two-way team, but that's not a surprise. That's not a surprise.
Yeah, the question is he topping out? I mean, the big thing, it's so I'm looking over at CNN. It's got close election may come down to Arizona, PA, Michigan, and Wisconsin. PA, Michigan, and Wisconsin right now are trending towards Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it does look like it could be a close election that very much mimics what happened with Hillary.
Now, the PA, I mean, I think they're – Did they count all the mail-in ballots already?
I don't know what they've counted so far.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that, right. What are they counting? Is my question. Like,
it's they say like CNN showing it at 44% of the estimated 44% estimated. Have they front-loaded the mail-in ballots or they backloaded? That's a big question.
Right.
I certainly don't know. So that, yeah, that could make a big difference. We'll see. I don't know that this is going to go as long as I thought it was going to go. I mean, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have to wrap things up, but I bet we're formally going to get something by tomorrow.
I agree. I don't think it's going to nearly, I was thinking it was going to stretch on for days.
I don't think it's going to be all that chaotic. Either way, I think it's going to be. I mean, sure. They're going to file whatever. But I don't know that we're going to have anything that's going to go like this. Need to go to the Supreme Court or anything like that.
So I went down to. I went to downtown Pittsburgh last night, where Biden and Lady Gaga were.
And what a pair, Biden and Lady Gaga.
Who would have thought? Right? Who would have thought? And, you know, we got there. We were about 10 minutes away, and it ended. I thought it was going to end at 10. It ended at 9:30, and we were about 10 minutes away. We got to the North Shore. There was 15, you know, a handful of cars just pulling out from the area. It was dead. It was just, it, you know, there was not many people there.
It's funny. Like, I just think that's the Democratic voter right now. The Democratic voter is the COVID-19 social distance, stay home, stay safe person. And they voted early. You know, they mailed in their ballot. That's how they handled things. And they're not going to go to any sort of big crowd event because they're not going to catch COVID-19. I think the GOP voter is the, you know, the COVID-19 is overblown. You know, like, you know, I've seen, you know, they're pretty tightly packed. They do wear masks, but they're pretty tightly packed together at the rallies I've seen with Trump. You know, they're not trying to be, you know, 6 feet apart from one another. So I think it's just, you know, just the general mentality and all that. I think the big thing, and CNN has been doing a good job of talking about it. Trump really racks it up in the areas where people just don't go. Like he was in Butler, wasn't he?
He was in Butler. Yep.
So there you go. He went to Butler. Trump or Biden probably wasn't in Butler. He was downtown.
No, right. No. Yeah.
And I think that's like the general mentality. Like the Democrats don't really try to even much get involved in politics at that level in those areas. And, you know, they aren't trying to build out. I think it's both ways. I think the, like, in turn, although this is what I always say about the Republicans. Like, I don't even know what her name is. The woman running downtown in Baltimore. There's always a Republican. Klasick. Yeah, Klasick. There's always a Republican willing to make a stand. You know, they're going to go out and try to make a splash, like, everywhere. They're going to fly the colors. I think Democrats really just kind of cede a lot of this territory, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just so much of a mindset in those rural counties and whatnot that there's no changing it. But the Democratic National Committee is not nearly as dedicated as they are of, like, doing mailings and. Like, they're, like, decades behind all, like, the micro segmentation that the Republican Party has been doing for like 30 years. Like, for forever. You know, like, Obama started getting into it, and it's just because it's cool, and it's like, you know, they're using Tableau and whatnot and making these cool graphics. They were doing that with mail order or, you know, mail-in stuff back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they just never. You know, I think they just never decided to go that route, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate they never try to, like, battle it out. It's unfortunate sense that, you know, that we have the situation we're in. It's basically the Democrats get the cities and the Republicans get the rural areas, and there's, like, no real conversation across the divides.
Right, and also, you know, I mean, at least if you live in Pittsburgh. I can't speak for other cities because I don't know, but Pittsburgh kind of runs you. You know, they pick the taxes, they pick what happens to your commerce a lot of the time. You know, they set a lot of the rules, and those are Democrats, and they set a lot of rules for the Republicans, right? I mean, Allegheny County has a higher percent taxes because Pittsburgh – you know, proper voted for it, and it affects the whole region, right? Back when,
yeah, but like Westmoreland County doesn't get caught up in that, like Butler doesn't, and all that. So, I mean, there's independence that way.
No, but no, there are. But I'm saying that unless you live in the city, you know, there's things you just don't vote for, but
yep.
But you're still have to abide by them.
True.
And that's not fair, you know, to the other people in Allegheny County. Allegheny County is far bigger than just the city of Pittsburgh. That's my point.
Sure.
So.
Well, and the Democratic vision would be like that. Like, when it comes to the U.S., like, political scene, it would be, the popular vote would decide the election. Population would determine, like, Senate seats in addition to, like, House seats. They would probably, even lessen the number of seats for, like, you would have some states that wouldn't get as many seats as they get. They would probably distribute, like, one, like, House vote to, like, both the Dakotas.
Right.
Right. I'm being a little facetious there, but they would definitely, because there's floors, so they would kind of remove the floors. My a former colleague of mine posted on Facebook an article about secession, which I found interesting to read, because it was talking about how there's some things I think I've mentioned before. That we just have such a big country that it's, like, really hard to govern it according to, like, a set of principles.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have, though, is if you were to have, like, a secession between, like, two or more countries, where would you divide them? Because so much of what we have is really, like, county by county and even smaller. Like, municipality by municipality basis. I don't know how you would stitch that together in a way that would be, like, more cohesive. And ultimately, that's why I kind of think that the move should be more, have more localized power, more localized taxation, more localized, you know, divvying that up, and pay less and less as you move up. Like, your highest tax level should be your local tax. Your next highest should be your state tax, and then your lowest should be the federal tax, which is a complete reversal of what we have right now. Other than, like, property tax, I guess.
But why would you say it that way? I mean, why would you?
Do you have more control over who your mayor is or who your president is?
Sure. Okay. Local.
But who do you give your most money to?
Local. Right.
That's fine. You can at least probably knock on your mayor's door. You most definitely cannot knock on the president's door.
No, you can't. Never.
So yeah, that's the I would put local first for a lot of decision making, and that's, you know, that's the smaller government approach. You know, smaller in a lot of different terms, because it's, you know, there's less levels of bureaucracy. Kind of the things I was talking about before on, like, size, scope, sweep, and sanction. The smaller the size and the smaller the sweep is, giving local areas more control over, you know, their own lives and decisions that they get to make. We've got a lot of bad racial history in the United States, and I acknowledge that. So I don't have an easy answer on how to deal with that. Other than saying that what I see right now with, like, a lot of the stuff with, like, the police stations and whatnot, if you had smaller, like, policing units and they were all directly beholden to the people that, like, were voting them, you'd have less disparity of power than I think we have right now. So that's my vote for smaller in that sense. This is another thing for me. I still think we need police. We can't get rid of them. They're necessary.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I spoke to a policeman tonight at the polls, and I appreciated him for his service. And, you know, I said, it's got to be really hard to be a cop right now. He's like, oh, you have no idea. I said, I appreciate everything you do, and I'm sorry that, you know, you guys are going through
this. It's as tough as it is.
He's like, yeah, it's hard to be us right now. He's like, don't worry, it'll get better.
Was he white?
Yeah.
I think it'd be maximally hardest for minority cops right now.
Right. What are you doing to us, man?
Right. I don't have a good answer for that either. The Democratic stuff that Kamala and Biden are pushing forward, Harris and Biden are pushing for, are kind of like stopgap measures. Anyway, you know, like, they want to ban chokeholds. It's a good idea. They should ban chokeholds.
Sure.
But that's not going to appease people that are saying, you know, there should be no prisons.
Right.
And I'm in disagreement. I think there should still be prisons. I just don't think, we're ready to have a society that has no punitive actions ever taken.
No, I don't think that makes sense in our society. I don't think it makes us any more free. How about that?
Yes. I don't either.
I worry about the, you know, obviously I don't worry about no jails, because that's not going to happen. They're not going to just shut down jails. We've shut down mental hospitals. Now let's shut down jails.
I mean, I think you can, and, you know, Trump did. I mean, you can try to reassess who's going to jail and how long they're staying there. That was the Kardashians pushed that forward and went in.
I think that was a good idea, and at the same time, I don't think that was a pandering move. I don't think Trump just said
no. He didn't get any reward for it.
Oh.
like none.
Right.
So yeah, to call it pandering is like who did it pander towards? yeah, that's he probably could have gotten like, I mean, I don't know how much more, but he probably got more play if he shut it down. I think it's better that he didn't. But yeah, I didn't like it, like no one voted today for Trump because he passed that. Not any statistically significant number of people voted that way because he passed it. Maybe one person did.
Right. And they probably didn't live in the right place to make a difference.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. The one person said in New York City is like, you know what? He passed that. I'm going to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in super blue otherwise state.
And Nevada just turned pink, I see.
Turned pink. What are you watching, Fox?
No, this is on the chat. But let me turn on Fox. Let me see. Oh, Ohio just went red. Ohio just went dark red.
They're at 50-some percent now. Of the vote.
Nevada, Biden just lost a little bit of pointage there. Where's Biden in your poll there? On his, how many points does he have on your side?
For 192.
Okay. Fox has him at 223.
What do they have Trump at?
166.
Hmm.
What do they have Trump at?
148.
They just gave him Ohio.
Who, Trump?
Yeah.
I think it's a little soon for Ohio. I mean, they have it marked red. I mean, you can definitely, I wouldn't call it for him. It's red on this map, and so is PA, because he's winning both those states.
Yeah. How much percentage is PA in?
I don't know. They're at 50 yet. I think 40 some.
They were 44 a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, something like that. It's showing 192 to 114 on this. I'm sorry, I said 140. It's 140.
Oh, okay.
They haven't given them Florida yet, though, but Florida's going to go his way. 29 votes, so that's going to give it up to 133.
Okay.
Florida definitely will. I think it's going to stay in his camp. I can't believe they haven't called already, actually.
I think they're holding out for Broward County. I don't know why.
Why might that be?
Yeah. West Coast Florida is definitely in the bag for Trump.
Yeah, it is. Well, the thing that that happened that they really emphasized on CNN was that he underperformed in Miami-Dade.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a thing too. Oh, now they're saying Virginia's leaning more towards Biden. That's interesting. Trump had an early lead.
Fox gave Virginia to Biden long ago. And I think it's because of it's the counties that, you know, Alexandria, Fairfax County, the northern.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're just like, yeah, you know what? That's so close to D.C. Where do you think those people in D.C. live? Okay.
Right, right.
Crazy if you think they're not rooting for the home team.
Right, for sure.
Just call them Little Washington up there. Down there.
I actually think that that actually would make sense as a state. I do.
Yeah.
Arlington and Fairfax, mm-hmm, and D.C. should be its own state.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazily different from the rest of Virginia.
Oh, tonight. Yeah. Right.
I'll give them statehood. Them in Puerto Rico, they can have a state too. Because why not? They have hurricanes. Why not get them too? So, but then again, I'd annex Mexico, so I'm not the person to ask.
If you're going to give Puerto Rico statehood, who else are you giving it to?
Just those two. Who do you want? Who do you want else?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of territories down there, right?
I mean, Puerto Rico because it's just, it's very close by and it's kind of, it's, I mean, it's much more integrated than like the Virgin Islands.
Okay. That's true.
But more importantly, it annexed all of Mexico. I think that'd make a lot of our problems go away.
Yeah. How do you think the Mexicans would like that?
Depends. There's a lot of Law and Order Mexicans would be all for it, I bet. Cartels wouldn't like it.
No, they wouldn't. And I've heard that...
But I could just go shoot them, which I'd be a big fan of.
Yeah.
Hi, you're a citizen. Everything you do is illegal. There's a no-knock warrant.
If you're when, you know, if you're in with the cartels, you can get anything done, right?
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. Like to me, Mexico is a completely failed state on our border.
Of course.
Like it's a failed state. They had that one guy who's getting paid like $400,000 a month by the cartels. He's like the drug enforcement guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually got busted. And like El Chapo had like the tunnel that was like built for him. He got out of.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So I mean, like, we will have like. You know, people talk about reparations and whatnot. We're going to have perpetual problems unless we get Mexico, like, under control. And I don't mean just people coming over. I just mean, like, the drug thing. It's just, it's, the cartels are out of hand. I think we'd have if I want to get a control of American crime, take control of Mexican drug crime.
So do you think that... Mexico could be Mexico if, you know, it was controlled by the United States.
Sure. What are they? What's them being independent right now getting them?
I'm just saying it's not. But I mean, in their mind, it would be. I mean, people that
I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of people that would probably be pretty happy. Like, so we have an artificial line that only hurt American businesses because they are able to go there and pay less money because there's less like enforcement of like worker safety and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You eliminate that. You eliminate most of what NAFTA was all about. Right. You'd have to pay a competitive wage everywhere because the government would force you to. They'd have worse conditions, which would suddenly have to be inspected. So now all of a sudden you have people showing up at your door to check out your factory. You'd be able to keep immigration from everywhere else at bay better.
Yeah, no, but the optics though. I mean, the Democrats would be like, you know, you're just taking over the brown people. You're killing their heritage, their culture.
Oh, I know the optics are horrid, right? No, this wouldn't be it. This wouldn't be a Democratic plan. So that's what's ironic about the Democrat plan for me is they're okay with taking everybody in. But won't go fix any other problem.
Yeah, right. Right.
So, you know, they'll say things like, they're protecting. They're really. No, okay. Well, they're protecting Virginia to go to Biden now. So they won't go, like, all these things are supposedly issues, but they're not going to go solve them.
Mm-mm. Right. They're none of our business.
They're none of our business, but we have to take everything that come here.
Right, that's our business.
It's like it's only the social work thing, and there's no, like, you know, again, I guess it comes down to, you know, same thing about law enforcement. Well, you want to help an addict with their problems, but no, you can't solve them, you know, stop them from, you know, shooting people. They sell drugs. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying everybody should go to jail for addiction problems. But on the same token, you know, maybe you shouldn't go to jail for shooting. So yeah, no, I'd be an imperialist pig. That's colonialism. You're a colonizer. To know what I'm talking about. I get it. Yeah, no, that's not the lefty position. Let's annex Mexico.
Holy,
you know it's funny about it too though. That would also actually bolster the GOP. Like, you think it would bolster the Democrat? No, it wouldn't. There's a lot of people like that in Mexico that are like Catholic conservatives. That would totally bolster the GOP. And they were going that way before Trump and the border wall. Like, the Bush agenda was very much about like expanding to like Hispanic voters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have the wall to worry about, if the wall is being put on southern Mexico, you'd get Mexicans supporting that.
Right.
I really think so. And you wouldn't get the cheap labor thing because it would be the same state. It'd be everybody in the United States. Everybody would be documented because you'd have to be because they're all citizens now. So you wouldn't be able to pay them like under the table money because they'd be tax evaders. So it wouldn't be a matter of deporting people. Just they'd have to report all their taxes, and they would do that because they don't want to lose their money. And you know, you'd be taking away the whole deportation thing. You wouldn't have the whole child whatever thing. It'd just be a matter of, yeah, hey, you're a tax evader, and there's going to be no incentive to pay tax on the table because it's going to be tax enforcement at that point. So you're going to have a more equitable salary thing. And the big thing that they are right now is basically near slave labor because they work under the table for people that are, you know, evading U.S. worker law,
mm-hmm,
U.S. work labor law. That's why they're cheaper. And if you eliminated that, I think you'd eliminate a lot of those kinds of issues. And they could go after the cartels, which are problems. And it's not to say that there aren't criminal problems in the United States. The mafia is a problem in the United States. Glad they broke the mafia. You know, people from Italian backgrounds, like, romanticize them. They're bad people. So are cartels.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather they get cleaned up than not.
We are starting
out of time. Wow.
We are out of time. That went quick.
Yes, it did go quick. Donate to Revolution Radio one more time. Donate.
Right. Don't delay. Donate
today.
Revolution Radio. Hey, that's better. I could have went with that. I'm sorry I'm not on the same wavelength as you. I mean, I should have been there.
That's okay.
So Trump has given Texas, predicted to right. Right.
Or picking my jaw at the floor on that one right now.
Who would have thought Austin wouldn't rule all of Texas?
Who knew?
Who knew, exactly.
Most Texans, I would guess.
Yeah. Right. Well, we appreciate you listening again. We have lots more to talk about next week.
We will. We'll have maybe a president. We'll see.
Maybe. Maybe.
Have a good night, Ed.
Hey, you too. Good night.
Good night.
And that's a wrap.
Listening to Revolution.